Adam read for us the first 10 verses of John chapter 2. I want to read verse 11 as I start my message this morning, where the Bible says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." This turning the water to wine was the first miracle that Jesus performed. And again, it was like all the other miracles that he would perform. They were performed, yes, to accomplish what was accomplished in the miracle, but a far greater purpose than that. They were accomplished to show people who he was, to manifest his glory, so that they would do like the disciples did, as it says here in verse 11, believe on him. And this miracle that, again, was done to show his power and his glory, this miracle that was done so that people would believe on him, was put into motion by an instruction that his mother, Mary, gave the servants that were at this wedding when she told them, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatever he says, whatever he commands you or instructs you to do, just do it. And so this morning I preach a message I've entitled, "Do It." Do it. I want you to think about where Mary was at this point in her understanding of who Jesus was. At this point, she had never seen a miracle. Because you see, even though she was his mother, there were no previews of what was to come. I mean, he didn't get by himself with his mom there in Nazareth where he grew up and said, hey, mom, let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me just show you some of the things I'm going to do. I mean, he didn't heal the neighbors, and he didn't make his cousins that were sick well. He did none of that. Mary had never seen a miracle. There were no private showings, so to speak. So at this point in time, she had never seen him make a lame man walk. At this point in time, she had never seen him take a blind person and restore their sight. At this point in time, she had never seen him take a deaf person and touch his ears and restore hearing, or touch a leper and make him clean. At this point in time, she had not seen, nor did I think she understand, that he had the power to take a few pieces of bread and a couple of fish and feed multitudes of people. Nor did she comprehend that he had the power to stand on the deck of a ship in the middle of a storm that was about to sink the ship that he was on and say to the wind and to the waves, "Peace, be still," and there was peace. She had not at this point in time, nor did she comprehend that her son would have the power to raise the dead. She had seen none of those things. And yet she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it." Now, before you think that I don't know what had happened in her life up until this point, I would remind you, she had experienced a visit from an angel who told her, "Mary, you are blessed among women, and you are going to have a child. And that child is going to be the child of the Holy One." And Mary said to the angel, "How can that be? I don't know man." And the angel explained that the Holy Spirit was going to come over her. And that happened. She had a little baby that they named Jesus. She'd been there when the shepherds had come into the stable and told about and shared with her and Joseph the visit they had from the angels. That one angel came and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And she had been there when the angels had come and had worshipped that little baby in response to the message that they got from the angels. She was there when the wise men came from the east. And she heard their story of the star, how they studied the prophecy that was in the book of Daniel, written in their language. And they had counted the days, and they'd look for a sign in the heavens, and they saw that star, and they came and followed that star and came to the house where the young child was and presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then the Bible says that she had watched Jesus increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And yet, even after all that, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that after they had gone to the temple and for their annual pilgrimage, and then come home, and Jesus was behind in the temple for 3 days, and they came back to him and found him in the middle of the temple, and Mary asked this question: how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And the Bible says, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. I mean, she had been visited by the angel. She had that child without knowing man. She had been visited by the shepherd. She had been visited by the wise man. And yet here Jesus was 12 years old. They were lost. He was lost for 3 days because he didn't come with the crowd as they left Jerusalem. His mom said, "Why did you treat us this way? Didn't you know your dad and I would seek you sorrowing?" And he said, "Mom, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" And she did not understand that saying, but the Bible says, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now as she was at this wedding at Canaan, Jesus was there and his disciples was there. He was about to start his earthly ministry. He was about to reveal himself to the world that he'd come to save. Did Mary understand the whole thing at this point in time? No. I don't think she had any idea what was about to happen. Did she know what was coming? No. Did she foresee all the miracles that were going to be worked? No. Did she see the cross and the sacrificial death that was going to be paid on the cross? No. She didn't see the whole picture. She didn't understand. She didn't know what was coming. But she had seen enough so that when she talked to those servants, she said to them, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Do it. Do we understand all about God this morning? No. Can we explain everything that he has done? No. Do we know all that he will do? No. We know some of the things he's going to do, but we don't know everything he's going to do. Do we comprehend all the truth that's in this book? No. But we know enough this morning to say, like his mother Mary did to those servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Do it. We may not understand it. We may not be able to explain it. We may not be able to see the why and the wherefore. But if you want to see Jesus work miracles in your life, if you want to see Jesus work a miracle in your existence, in your realm of being, in your life, then you need to do exactly what Mary told the servants to do, and which they did. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it." Do it. Three things this morning. Number one, Jesus said unto us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, we are heavy laden with sin because we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin separates us from God. And we labor trying to get back to him. Because if you have any sense at all, and maybe you haven't come to this point in your life yet, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's something missing in your life. There's a part of you that was made to be at peace with God. Let me get it out. There was a part of you that was made to be at peace with God, to have a relationship with God, to know that he is your Father and you are his child. And without that relationship, there's an empty spot in your life. An empty spot. There's something missing. And again, you've heard me say it before, everybody knows there's something missing. Everybody doesn't know what it is. They try to fill it up with things of the world. They try to fill it up with things that they can do. And the picture that this verse paints here in Matthew chapter 11 and 28 is that we labor. We labor. We just go from one thing to another, and then to another, and then to another, trying to fill up that empty spot in our life when what we need is a relationship with God, when what we need is to have our sins be forgiven, when what we need is to be at one with Him again, the way we're made. The Bible says that all our labors, though, are to no avail, because it's not of works that makes us right with God. Not of works, it says in the book of Ephesians, lest any man should boast. How we get rest with God is simply to quit trying to do what we think we need to do and to come to Him. That's what He said. Come unto Me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. You see, He put that heavy in there so that the worst sinner can know you're invited too. You may say, well, preacher, I'm not a bad sinner. I just have a few sins. You're still laden with sin. Some of you might say this morning, well, I'm a bad sinner. You're heavy laden with sin. The invitation is open to everybody. Just come. That's all He says. Just come. All you have to do is just do it. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, and him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Don't think you're too bad that God won't take you. He'll take everybody. That's why He says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. It doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. It matters what kind of Savior He is. And He is a Savior that takes all sinners. So He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto Me. Come unto Me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you what you're looking for. I'll give you what's missing in your life. I'll give you what you need to fill up that empty spot in your soul. I'll give you that relationship with your Heavenly Father. And He's able to do that because He paid for our sins. He took our place. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God is a God of justice. Sin must be paid for. It must be paid for with death. But somebody took our place. That's what happened on Calvary. Jesus took all my sin and all your sin. He bore it Himself. He went to the cross and He paid what I owed. He paid what you owed. And He's able, because He did that, to offer to every single person the gift of salvation, eternal life. And all you have to do is come. Is come. And some people think it's too simple. God made it too easy. He made it that way so the little children back in the fellowship hall can understand it just like you do. He made it so they could come just like you can. He didn't put any conditions on it. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to join something or give something or be something. Now, again, He'll change us after we get saved. But there are no preconditions for you coming. All you got to do is come. Come. He said, come unto Me. I will give you rest. And I say to you this morning, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Do it. We try to make the things of God too complicated. He said, if you want rest, just come. All we need to do is just come. Just come. Number two, He said in Matthew 4:19, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Other people need to hear the story of Jesus. Other people need to hear that He paid their price as well. Other people need to know that there's room in heaven for them. So He says to us that have already come, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Here's what He's saying. Hey, you follow Me, I'll bring people across your path that need to hear about Jesus. I'll put words in your mouth so that you'll know what to say to them, how to tell them about Christ. And I'll woo them to Myself, and I will help you to bring other people to Me. That's what He's talking about when He says, I'll make you fishers of men. All we have to do is follow Him. A lot of people say, well, I can't tell somebody else about Jesus. Yes, you can. I mentioned it last Sunday night. If you know how you got saved, you can tell somebody else how to be saved. You don't need a Bible degree to do that. All you need to know is how you got to heaven. And if you know how you got to heaven, and by the way, you ought to know how you got to heaven. Huh? Or how you're going to get to heaven. If you don't, we need to talk. But if you're here thinking you're going to heaven, you need to know how you got to heaven, and that's the only qualification for you being a fisher of men, to know how you got to heaven. So he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I say to you this morning, just like Mary, his mother, said to those servants that day at that wedding in Cana, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. He says, come, just come, just do it. He says, follow me, do it. Follow him. He said, number three, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things that will be added unto us, as it talks about in Matthew chapter 6, before verse 33, are the necessities of life. The things that we need while we're here. Food, clothes, everything else. He says in verse 32, we've read verse 33. Verse 32 says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And it tells us in that chapter that we're not going to get them by worrying about them. It says in verse 27, which of you by taking thought, worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature or to his height? What Jesus said, you seek me and my kingdom, and you put me first, and I'll take care of you. You put me first, and I'll give you everything that you need. You just seek me and my kingdom and my righteousness. Look, I know that you need I know what you need. God says, it's not, somebody doesn't have to tell me what you need. Now, he wants us to pray, of course. But he says, I know what you need. I know what you need to live on that earth. And if you take care of my business, I'll take care of you. I will give you what you need. Now, I can't stand here this morning. I can't explain why that works. I can't. I mean, I can read it in the Bible. I can't explain why it works. I can't understand how it works. How can I, seeking the kingdom of God first, how is that going to guarantee that God will meet all my needs? I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I can't comprehend why God set it up that way. But I'll tell you, I know that it works. Huh? I've seen it work time after time. I've seen it work over and over. And there are scores of people in this room this morning that if we had time and I gave them the opportunity, they would stand and they could testify over time after time after time in their life. And they would say the same thing. I cannot understand why it works. I cannot explain why God set it up this way. But I will tell you, when I sought him and when I put him first and when I sought the kingdom of God, he took care of all my needs. And by the way, he usually does more than that. He not only gives us what we need, sometimes he blesses us more abundantly than what we need and puts the icing on the cake and lets us enjoy things that we don't need. So I say to you this morning, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, go back with me to that wedding in Canaan. Think about the servants for a minute. Here they are. They're in an embarrassing situation. The celebration is not over, and they've run out of wine. Can you imagine being at a party where you run out of chips and dip and hot dogs and hamburgers, and you still got people that are hungry and want to eat? It would be embarrassing. And so here they were. These were the people that were supposed to serve the guest, and they'd run out of wine. And this lady, and Mary was probably known to this family. That's why she was at the wedding. She calls them over after she figures out what has happened. She said, look, there's my son. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Just do it. So Jesus calls the servants over and he says, hey, you know those water pots you got out there? And they had water pots where they purified the water, let it set. He said to the servants, go fill up those water pots. Now, I can imagine the servants. Why should we waste our time going to fill up those water pots? We don't need water. We need wine. We're not out of water. We got plenty of water. Nobody wants water at this celebration. They need wine. I mean, it's just a waste of time for us to go to the well. And I mean, it's not like they went into the kitchen and turned on the faucet and, you know, put a pot under it and came out and filled up the pots. They had to go to the well. They had to draw water out of the well. They had to bring the water back and put it in those pots. And it probably would take them more than one trip. They had to go back and forth, back and forth. Said, look, they could have said to Jesus, hey, we're in the middle of a celebration here. We're in the middle of celebrating a wedding here, and nobody needs water. We got plenty of water. Why should we waste our time going to the well and bringing back water and filling up those pots? But they did it because this lady said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So they filled up the pots. And then Jesus told them to do something even stranger. He said, hey, take a cup out of one of the pots and take it to the governor of the feast. Sort of like the arranger of the celebration. And I'm sure the servants thought, now why would we do that? What does he didn't want a drink of water. Why would we? I mean, it would be an affront to him. It would be an embarrassment to the people that we work for, to our masters. Why would we take a cup of water to the governor of the feast? He knows we're out of wine, and if we take a cup of water to him, what's he going to say? I mean, what sense does that instruction make? It doesn't make, neither one of them made any sense. Why should they fill the water pots up with water? Why should they take a cup of water out of one of those pots after they got it filled up to the governor of the feast? It just didn't make any sense from a human standpoint. And sometimes the things God tells us to do don't make any sense from a human standpoint. We can't explain it. We can't understand the whys and the wherefores. It just doesn't make any sense to our human minds. And yet the Word of God says to us this morning, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. And these servants, even though they couldn't understand it, even though they couldn't explain it, even though they didn't know what was going to happen, they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went and filled up those water pots, and then they took a cup of what was water that they put into those pots, and they took it to the governor of the feast. And to their surprise, the governor tasted that water that was turned into wine. He called the bridegroom over, and he said, hey, you're a different kind of bird. You're a different kind of guy, because usually the way it works, everybody serves their best wine first, and when everybody gets full of it, then they bring the stuff that's not so good out. But you have saved the best for last. And I can just see those servants looking at one another and smiling and saying, boy, if you only knew, if you only knew what happened. It was a miracle. It was something that man could not do, that only God could do. And because those servants were obedient to just doing what Jesus told them to do, his first miracle went into the record books. You know what? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, it would be a miracle for him to save you today. It was a miracle when he saved me. I was a sinner headed for hell. I had no hope. And when I came to him, he saved me. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it would be a miracle for you to get saved. It would be a miracle today if God would use you to bring somebody else to Jesus. Just to think you could go to somebody and tell them how you got saved and to see them come to the same Savior. To see them get their sins forgiven just like you did. To see them get a home in heaven just like you did. That would be a miracle for God to use us to do that. And it's a miracle when God gives us every day what we need. It's a miracle. He doesn't owe us anything. In fact, we owe him. He doesn't owe us one thing. But he says, you seek me first in my kingdom, and I'll make sure you have everything you need. That's a miracle. And you can see those miracles in your life if you'll just follow Mary's instructions. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Will you? Will you just do it this morning? If you're here and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you just come? If you're here and never told anybody about Christ since you've been saved, would you follow him so that he can make you a fisher of men? If you have some needs in your life that aren't getting met, maybe it's because you're not putting him first. Maybe it's because you're seeking other things first. And he says, you seek me, put me first. I'll take care of all these other things. Will you do it? That's what he says. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. And we can see miracles just like they saw a miracle at this wedding. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the simplicity of this book and how simple you make it for us to come to you. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, they would just come to you, just like they are. They would just come. Father, I pray for Christians that are here. I pray for those that need to start telling people about Christ. I pray for those that are worrying about what's going to happen, about how they're going to make the ends meet. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us understand this morning. We don't have to worry about that. That's your job. You're a Father. You'll take care of us. And so I pray, Father, that we just follow this simple instruction. Whatsoever you saith unto us, we would just do it. Whether we need to be saved, whether we need to be a fisher of men, or whether we just need to quit worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I pray, Father, you'd help us just to be obedient and just do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.